Once again, everybody, to another episode of Time Out with Novak and Maverick. After such a long hiatus, and I do apologize, this is all on me. I went away on vacation selfishly to BC and enjoyed myself, but at the same time, I'm not sorry because I enjoyed myself and I had an amazing time. Seeing everybody, but we are back once again. I am looking forward to it, and I know that my partner in crime here, my Tony DiNozzo to my Leroy Jethro Gibbs, Mr. Tony Novak, is very excited to get back into Time Out doing the Raw reviews. Tony, how you doing, my friend?
I am so happy to be doing this again. I didn't realize how much I would miss it until I'm looking at my notes here on episodes and they're piling up. And I'm just like, I got nobody to discuss this with. I need Maverick back.
It's so funny because, like, I felt the exact same way, too. And, like, you know, my little notebook that I've got here, the pages are filling. It's getting thicker. It's like, oh, man, this is getting exciting. Like, I can't wait till it's, like, fully done and then go back and look at all that shit, what I wrote. Yeah.
I was happy to hear about your trip, though. I was happy that you went and enjoyed yourself. You got to treat yourself, man. But, you know, it's good to have you back, too.
Thanks, dude. No, it was honestly much needed. I was absolutely, like, just with everything going on in the world right now, I don't even know if we're allowed to say COVID anymore. Whatever, I don't care. Because of the COVID, it was just starting to get to me. And I'm like, and then it was just repetition of go home, work, go home, work, go home, work. It was like, there's no wrestling, there's no gym, there's no nothing. I can go out for hikes and stuff like that, which I did a couple of times, and that was great. But yeah, I just missed going to like do stuff. So, and seeing people and touching people's faces. I missed doing that too. Oh God. It was just, yeah, it was so therapeutic. It was so good. Oh yes. But we are back. And like you said, I missed this stuff as well. And even while I was away, I'm like, oh man, I won't lie. I was watching a bit of 2000, WWF circa that time, and I was just like, man, I can't wait to get back to doing the reviews. It's gonna be fun, but right now I'm just gonna enjoy my time and take it easy. But I didn't really take it easy because I was very, very busy last couple of days.
Good. Yeah, now you get to unwind and hop online with me here. And what are we discussing? December 22nd Raw.
Yes, we are discussing the December 22nd edition of Monday Night Raw, 1997, the year of our Lord, and we are in, oh my God, it's Lowell. I know it's Lowell, but I don't know what the state is, and I'm really embarrassed. You know what? I'm just going to check it real quick, because I should check this, too.
We got to get it right.
Yes, we do. I don't want, it can't be, really? Okay, I'm going to butcher this name because I butcher all names that I don't know how to pronounce properly. So we are in Lowell, Massachusetts. Did I say that right?
I'm pretty sure that's correct, yeah.
I'm hope that I did. And you know what the sad thing is? I can't say it fast. I have to say it like that or else I'll just butcher it. And I don't want to go with the whole Wetaskiwin story or whatever the hell that place is called in Alberta. But anyway,
good enough.
But before we get started, we were just discussing something beforehand and I really wanted to share this story because me and Novak were just talking about how silly the world of professional wrestling can be and how mental it can be. And that reminded me of the story of Yokozuna on Bruce Pritchard's podcast, Something to Wrestle With. And Tony, you might not have heard this story, correct?
From what I remember, yeah, I can't recall any Yokozuna story.
Perfect. Well, just to give everybody, if you were a first-time wrestling fan and, like, you're just getting into it or, like, whatever, you're just experiencing it for the first time. Good grief, Travis. What the hell's wrong with you? Anyway, just to give you an idea of how ridiculous pro wrestling can be, there was a story that Bruce Pritchard shared that they could have done so much more with Yokozuna if he had not worn the long tights under his thong. So they wanted Yokozuna's bare ass exposed to the world.
And I just listened to the Rikishi episode. They did talk about that. It was an idea played with. So they couldn't do it with Yokozuna, so they did it with Rikishi.
Rikishi was so down. He was like, yeah, no, absolutely, like, totally. But yeah, Bruce Pritchard's like, yeah, we could have done so much more with Yokozuna.
Just the regrets.
And, like, I love Yokozuna, don't get me wrong, but, like, let's think at Yokozuna's biggest, okay? Are we there yet? Do we really want to see that bare to the world? I personally don't think so. I'm sure that there are some people out there that would fancy it, and, like, don't get me wrong, if that's what gets your rocks going, absolutely, do what you need to, but I, for one, don't want to see that.
I could live without it.
Thank you. yes, I just... it just makes me laugh.
Yeah. Speaking of mental wrestling, I understand you're on a bit of a time crunch. You think we should dive right in?
Yes, you know what? I was going to read off with some news. You know what? I really don't care because, to be completely honest, I'm still on vacation time right now. Yeah.
if you want to know the news, look it up.
Absolutely. And the plans that I do have for later, that can... It's not the end of the world if I go a little bit over. So it's totally fine. We are on our time. But yes, December 29th, next week's edition, I will have a little bit of news. But for right now, I have none. So we will hop right into it. And the show kicks off with snowflakes falling from the ceiling. Oh, how sweet. Oh, but here comes D-Generation X. So, you know, it's not going to be good.
Classic.
And Shawn and Triple H are both in bathrobes. There is no dress code in the WWF, apparently, which I... Yep, sure. Just come to wear what you want, lads. Just whatever. Don't even get dressed. It's okay. DX gloats that they destroyed the legacy of the Legion of Doom. And Triple H tells the New Age Outlaws that if they take the credit, they better think again. Unless they want to get hurt. Yeah, classic. Okay. Yeah, for sure. DX's moment, and it's only DX's moment. It's what Triple H says, and yeah, makes sense, because you're all going to be DX soon. So, foreshadowing. Is that what that is, foreshadowing?
Yeah, teasing, let's go. Teasing the tension, yeah.
Tickling the balls, let's do that.
Yeah.
Triple H says that he will be Owen's worst nightmare and will send the last heart packing. And since Owen is the baby of the family, Hunter offers Owen a pacifier that he can suck on, and he is going to stick his dick in Owen's mouth. And all I put down here is in Kyle's mom from South Park's voice. What?
Yeah, from a threatening promo to like a seducing promo. Like, I got a little too intense there.
And sexual. My God. Like.
Yeah, you summed it up well. I did not see that coming either.
Good God. That was just so out of left field. I mean, I get it, but okay. Sure.
All right.
Sean thankfully takes the mic and says he won't rest in peace at the Royal Rumble because Shawn Michaels can stay up all night long. And I thought that was a pretty good line, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, you know, like a Shawn Michaels thing, like that's something Shawn Michaels would say to The Undertaker. So yeah, like good shit, good shit.
Of course, and I don't know if it was just me or not, but does it seem that Shawn is a little more upbeat and a little more has a little more pep in his step?
His from what I've seen in his promos, yeah, definitely. He's, you know, definitely just happier to be there. Happy, like I assume he's has all the freedom in the world to do what he wants promo wise. So when the time comes, he's just, you know, on cloud nine, man.
I mean, it's no secret his quote unquote demons were very well documented around this time. And I don't know, just the last few episodes that we have been watching, it just seems like he was just so out of it. And yeah, seeing him a little more lively, it's like, okay, that's the Shawn Michaels we know. But yeah, just, I don't know, the first couple of weeks, even after Survivor Series.
Just almost concerned.
Yeah, it was like, should he even be out there right now? Like, he does not look good.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But moving on, and of course, DX, of course, has to unrobe, and they reveal their Christmas boxers. And they don't last long. And throw up those DX sensors and grab your cameras, because there are two full moons in Lowell tonight.
The big reveal.
The segment.
Oh, and with Sergeant Slaughter coming out and telling them that they will face each other for the European Championship later that night.
Oh, yes. How could I possibly forget that? One of the biggest things that I remembered when I was a kid, so... Yes.
The ultimate punishment. Two friends fighting each other for the coveted European Championship.
And like I have stated in numerous episodes before, dissension in DX? Surely not! But yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit.
Oh, yes.
And Mr. Novak, would you like to take over with match one?
Oh, yes. So, one of my least favorite tag teams, the Godwins, come out. And Henry Godwin is the one who is going to be taking on Thrasher of the Headbangers. In-ring-wise, it seemed like this was the absolute bare minimum of what they could do in a match. But, you know, like, for what happened here, it ended up with a DQ finish, ended up in a brawl, and the Godwins left them laying. Quite the basic start to a rivalry or continuing. Did they already have a rivalry established here, or was this like kind of a shotgun start?
No, this all started because Henry Godwin hit Hawk with the slop bucket at DX, remember? In your house.
Oh, and then...
He was the one that cost LOD the tag titles.
But with the Headbangers.
At the beginning of this match... I believe it's Henry. He's the one that said, that tells Michael Cole that he believes that they're owed a tag team title shot because of that.
Oh, and then the Headbangers had something to say about it, and then they fight, brawl, etc., and then the Godwins leave them laying. So you know what? You know what? I'm convinced they made an argument. God damn it. I'm going to petition right now. In 1997, the Godwins should challenge for the tag team titles.
It is. I mean, they helped... New Age Outlaws retain the tag team championship, so it's only fair if they get a shot at the tag titles. Come on,
exactly. And not everyone is laying out the Headbangers. I mean, just DX and the Godwins and every other tag team, but still,
Especially when you need, at this point in time, a tag team, like a good tag team division. I mean, you've got the New Age Outlaws, but that's it.
Not a lot of depth, man. So if you're, you know, may as well throw somebody in there, and it looks like it's going to be the Godwins.
And I don't mind it, but as we all know, and it's well documented, Vince McMahon just doesn't find money in tag team wrestling. And hell, even Eric Bischoff back in the day didn't find a lot of stock in tag team wrestling. I personally like tag team wrestling because it's a different dynamic and it offers different story. It offers different types of storytelling as well in matches. You don't always have to have the same exact thing. Yes, it is a lot harder to control because you've got three other bodies in there with you as opposed to just one other in a singles contest. But at the same time, you can come up with some pretty cool shit, I find. So
yeah, and but hopefully the Godwins proves you right here, eh?
Yeah, for the most part. And also, like, circling back to the tag team stuff, especially now in 1997, there isn't a lot of well-established tag teams. And the New Age Outlaws aren't even in their final form yet. So it's like,
yeah, gotta do
getting
something
there, don't get me wrong, but like, and they will get there, but as for right now, there's nothing that's really happening, but some pretty cool stuff is coming down the line, and I am looking forward to it, because I think it's in a couple of weeks. I think it is in a couple of weeks. We're gonna get a pretty cool debut. And we get a video package that airs showing Dude Love taking the beatings from the New Age Outlaws, and we jump to the Boiler Room where Mankind is rocking back and forth, promising Yuletide beatings, nice, for the New Age Outlaws, and wishes them to have a nice day.
I dug it, man. I love Mankind.
I love Mankind, too. I mean, to me, it is so hard to pick between the three faces of Foley, but I don't know. I love Mankind. Just his cool debut and his feud with The Undertaker and how he was like the twisted soul that he was, and then how he became like the ultimate underdog, goofy character down the line. Just great. I loved it.
Good stuff.
And a clip is shown from last week. And Stone Cold Steve Austin stuns Santa Claus. I'm guessing that Steve Austin isn't on Santa Claus's nice list anymore. He's right there on the top of the naughty list.
Yeah, hell of a stunner.
It was. And, yeah, I also remember seeing that as a kid going to school the next day and being like, did you guys see a Stone Cold stun Santa?
You guys still like Santa? I like Stone Cold. Grow up.
You know what? I would not be upset if Stone Cold Steve Austin came around to my house every year and dropped off presents. I'd be okay with that.
Dropping off some Steve Weisers.
Oh, hell yeah. And we cut to the Deox locker room with the door closed, and we hear yelling from the inside, and Shawn Michaels storms out with China following behind him. Hmm. Interesting.
Ooh.
No, not really.
Juicy.
And we jump into match two, and it is Rocky Maivia versus The Undertaker, and this is not for the Intercontinental Championship, I might add. And it's a decent match, to say the least. Taker's nuts were taking some abuse in this match. He was getting hit with quite a few low blows from people. Lots of Nation of Domination interference. Paul Bearer then eventually makes his way out. And yeah, it is just so rough just seeing a scoop slam into a very unenthusiastic people's elbow. It's just very bleh.
Yeah, I just kind of makes you yearn for what's coming when he finally puts some, you know, razzle dazzle on that.
Yeah, just put a little bit of spice on that people's elbow, right?
Yeah, care, man.
Totally. Throw some rock salt on there. Hey, see what I did there? Rock salt? Yeah, you didn't
fucking
see
got
that
him.
One coming. Anyway, I'm fucking lame as shit. But anyway, D'Lo tries to interfere but fails. Rocky misses a clothesline into a choke slam, and then that's followed by a tombstone, and then the lights go off, and Kane arrives. Just circling to the match real quickly. I don't know about you, but, like, I don't know. I've never really liked Rock versus Taker.
No?
It on paper, it looks great. But then when you see it, it's just kind of like, I don't know. It falls flat sometimes. And I can't ever really, like, pinpoint a match between The Rock and Taker where I'm like, that was a good match.
You know, now that you mention it, I could see the clash of styles there, because I feel like they're very similar when there's a slow part in the match, whether it's the heat or like leading into the comeback or whatever. They're both very slow paced, because I feel like the high point of both their matches is the comeback or the near finish, when it's like super fast paced. Like, Undertaker is really quick when he wants to be. Rock has, like, amazing footwork, and he's really fucking, like, light on his feet. But it just feels like they can't get there at the same time. Otherwise, one will outshine the other. You know? So I feel like they're very teeter-totter. Either one is going fast and one isn't, you know? And it's just, it's a weird balance of the match, and it's hard for them to shine, you know, like, at the same time, you know?
No, I get what you're saying. And it's, and I do agree. And yeah, it's so hard to
get into it.
It really is. It is really hard to get into it, because even like Austin and Taker, like, they've had some wicked matches over the years, but like, just any time The Rock and The Undertaker match up, it's just, I don't know. It's weird.
It's not your cup of tea.
Well, it's certainly no Kurt Angle versus Undertaker on No Way Out.
Yeah, well said, well said.
But with Kane coming down to the ring, the Nation clears out, and Paul Bearer once again tries to entice the Undertaker into fighting his little brother Kane. And of course, the Undertaker says that he won't fight his own flesh and blood. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same story that we've heard over and over and over. You are going to fight. Damn it.
Beautiful slow build.
Tell me about it, right? It's, yeah. Like, a very slow burn. And speaking of burns, Kane fires a shot. Kane. To Taker, and tries to get him into the corner. And Taker looks like he's going to fight back, but then he just winds up. No, I'm good. I'm not going to fight you. And Paul Bearer just pretty much says that 1998 will be the year of Kane. And I really wish that was true. King of the Ring, he should have just had the title for a while. Not one day. You know how upset I was, Novak? You know how upset I was? I'm like, yes, Kane's a champion! Oh, my God! Oh, he lost it. Fuck.
Yeah, have some hardcore PSD when we get there, man.
Well, I mean, you can't really say that you're going to light yourself on fire if you don't win the match, but there was ways to work around it. Oh, man. It's just... Oh...
Oh, jeez.
Anyway.
Should probably move on to the next thing before you go into the shock.
Yes, please. Because, oh yes, my please. God. Please. I'll probably go into another shock pretty quick. But, yes, that ends hour one. And we are going to take a quick commercial break. And we will be right back after these messages.
Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 3,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 100 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
And we are back, and we are kicking off Warzone, and we are joined on commentary with Jim Ross and Jim Cornette. And with that, we do get match three, the WWF European Championship, opening hour two. Novak, if you were going to pick a winner in this, who would you pick?
I would like to believe that the young upstart Triple H would finally dethrone Shawn Michaels and become the European champion. It's his time, man. It's his time to be the King of Europe.
The King of Europe. I like that. Yes, because Bulldog can't be King of Europe anymore right now.
Guess not.
But yes, we do get Shawn Michaels as the European champion, defending his championship against Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley. China comes out carrying both the championships for Shawn. As Hunter makes his entrance, a wild Owen Hart appears and wants to fight. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, anyway, he tackles him down and starts laying punches. And Sarge comes out to pull Owen off of Hunter. Michaels and China come over, and they accuse Slaughter of this whole collusion. And this match is going to happen later tonight in the main event.
Classic.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah, Sarge up to his old shenanigans.
He just can't let it go after that boot camp match, man.
Yeah.
Backstage, we've got New Age Outlaws looking for Mankind in the boiler room. And they find someone who isn't Mankind, but still beat him up. Those wascally wabbits.
Just like Stan backstage getting super kicked by Shawn Michaels. Just the wrong guy in the wrong place at the wrong time. Gets laid out by the Outlaws.
That is crazy to think that that was Ty Dillinger.
I know. Like, that explains, dude, why he bumped like a champ.
You've been in development for so many years. But we are going to move on to match four. And Novak, would you like to take over with this?
I would love to. You got your Mark Merrow, and he is taking on Scott Taylor, who will soon be known as Scotty Too Hotty, which I got a kick out of. Scott Taylor with a mullet in his classic wrestling gear. Pretty, you know, decent match for what it was. And Mark Merrow kind of dominating his ass. And you get Sable coming out. This is the one, I only wrote costume. But if I'm guessing correctly, she came out in a reindeer costume?
Yes, and this confirms Mark Merrow is a furry.
I fucking knew it.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, for the most part, decent match, little this, little that. Mark Merrill's distracted, but still gets Scott Taylor up for the TKO, lays his ass out, pins him, goes off on Sable, and then, what was it, I think he tried to cover her up or something. Either way, he put his hands on her a little aggressively, and you get the not a jobber anymore, Tom Brady comes out here. Tom Brandy. Oh, I did that. Oh, I did that on the last episode. So I did it again. Shit. I guess he's still a jobber. I can't remember his fucking name.
Tom Brady is a jobber. I don't give a crap on how much money he makes and how many Super Bowl wins he has. He is a jobber for life.
He's no Tom Brandy.
He is no Tom Brandy. Tom Brandy wipes the floor with Tom Brady.
He's a motherfucking star. And he chased Mark Merrow off, and yeah, Tom Brandy gets his big spot on Raw. What'd you think?
But you're forgetting like the highlight of this whole thing, which is tits, because Sable takes off the rest of the suit, and yeah, she takes off the reindeer or the Rudolph hat or helmet or head piece, whatever the fuck you want to call it, off at some point. And then, yeah, it's just, oh, God. Oh, God.
The classic high spot.
I just, man, Miro is just, I don't know what's appealing about him. Looking at him right now, I don't know what's appealing about him.
Yeah, I'm not too into it either. You know, like, it's not the fact that he's being outshined by Sable. It's just him himself is just not clicking, you know, kind of like the Jeff Jarrett thing where, you know, just the certain kinds of heels can only go so far. It's hard to stay interested for a long, long time.
It really is. But we cut back to the back, and Hunter promises to teach Shawn Michaels a lesson as China whispers sweet nothings into his ear. All right.
Yeah, what would he do without her? We'll find out.
I could have just made a really bad joke, but we'll get to that eventually. Nothing to do with Stephanie McMahon at all. Anyway, we're going to cut to match 5, and we've got Kurgan with Jackal, and he is taking on 8-Ball. Jackal gives a kiss on the cheek to a lady at ringside and puts a dot on her head. Okay.
The culty and vibe, man. I dig it.
It oh God, it really, yeah. It just so fucking weird. Jackal is Jim Cornette / Jimmy Hart levels of loud as he is on the house mic during this match. And yeah, it really is. Like, thought he did a really good job. I wish he really did more.
I was thinking that too. You know, like before we started watching, I'd never even heard of him.
It is so fucking weird. Like, he's popped up quite a bit in different promotions, and I'm just gonna do a quick Google search. Bear with me for a second.
Yeah, while you're doing that, if I could quickly mention, at the end of the match, we have Kurgan do his classic claw move again, right? It was the claw chokeslam, right?
Yes, and actually this is pretty much going to be my new finish because I am done taking big bumps, and I'm like, that is brilliant. I'm doing that for now.
Yeah, and the main thing that the one thing I wrote down from this that I remembered and that kind of stuck with me, Kurgan, when he covered 8-Ball, he like hovered over him. He hooked the leg. He was almost like in like a weird like frog position while he was pinning him. He was just like hovering over him, like barely touching him, but he had the leg hooked. Like you could just see like the uncoordination in his body when he does shit like that.
Yes. I've noticed that as well, and it's very, very weird. And I am an idiot because, oh my God, how could I possibly fucking forget that? Jackal was Don Callis, who was also Cyrus the Virus in ECW. And I don't know if you know much about Cyrus or ECW around that time, but he was pretty much playing the equivalent of the Right to Censor as like a representative of the Parent Teacher Council or whatever the hell that bullshit was that made WWF try to tone down and whatnot. And yeah, just brilliant. Like, he's such a good talker, and I was looking at him, I'm like, I know this guy from somewhere. I just can't think on where I know him from. And then yeah, as soon as I punched in his name, I'm like, Don fucking Callis, I'm stupid.
Fuck, I guess I did hear of him. But yeah, I didn't connect the dots there.
No, he's a really good talker. Felt like he could have done a hell of a lot more in the WWF.
Yeah, like I'm kind of surprised he didn't. Maybe it's just the clients that he had that just kind of drug him down. This fucking guy who can't even cover. This stubby bastard.
Tell me about it. And so, yes, 8-Ball goes to attack Jackal, but then gets put back down by Kurgan, who's like, yeah, okay, mate. Recon and Sniper clearly have separation issues because they come out again. And I guess they're trying to get the band back together. I don't know what's happening. Obviously, Kurgan and Jackal want nothing to do with Recon and Sniper, but it's like, hey, don't forget about us.
Remember us?
We matter too. Yeah, okay, Bull Buchanan.
A lot of it wasn't made obvious, man. I thought they were all still a group and they were just getting jealous, but are they like not together anymore?
I have no idea at this point. I thought like 1 or 2 weeks ago we had like the separation from them and Recon and Sniper go off and do whatever the hell they do. But yeah, I don't know. Skull comes out to save 8-Ball and chases away the truth, the kind of truth commission. I don't know. Whatever the hell you want to call them. The four lads. There you go.
Yeah, just like we said, it just wasn't very obvious, you know. So because of that, it just came off very, very flat.
It really did. And we cut back to the New Age Outlaws still looking for Mankind in the bowels of the Lowell Memorial Auditorium. But Mankind traded in his mask for his Where's Waldo cap and still not found.
Ooh, oh shit.
Yeah, nothing really much to be said there. Match 6, D'Lo Brown versus Ken Shamrock.
Hell yeah. And
AR believes that Ken Shamrock is going to be the WWF champion before the Royal Rumble. If I heard that right, I swear to God I heard that right. I'm like, what? Okay. That's weird.
Hope it wasn't said that way. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
It makes absolutely no sense considering that Owen Hart is in the... Yeah, just... What? What are you talking about, Jim Ross? You're not supposed to get bad on comms for another 23 years. Anyway, Shamrock clearly upset that he has to file another piss test with the USADA. Destroys D'Lo Brown in quick fashion. Hits the belly-to-belly suplex and followed by the ankle lock. And, yeah, D'Lo just really has yet to find himself. He has yet to become the you looking at the real deal now, D'Lo. And, yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. But it's still nice to see Shamrock kick some ass. I always get a kick out of watching that.
Oh, Shamrock's great for that. I never complain about that. It's just, yeah. When in 2 years' time, D'Lo Brown, woohoo, boy. Anyway, yeah, The Rock come. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, yeah. Like, that guy's going to be a fucking star.
Well, as big of a star as he's possibly going to be until a very, very tragic accident.
Very much so. Well, we'll get there.
We will get there. Rock comes out to call off Farouk and Kama so he can challenge Shamrock to an Intercontinental Championship match at the Royal Rumble. And Farouk still looks upset that he is being cut off by this rookie, this nobody. And yeah, it's clearly shown that there is a little bit of dissension with the nation, and it's only going to get funnier from this point on.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting, though, having Rock come out and challenge Shamrock. You don't usually see a heel do that.
It is strange. Like, yeah, it's usually the babyface that is laying down the challenge. You do see the heel do it sometimes, but yeah, like, just to be like, yeah, I'll give you a shot at my Intercontinental Championship, it's like...
But it's not usually an ass-kicker like Shamrock.
No, totally. It's like a... guy like Shannon Moore.
Tom Brady, I want you at the Royal Rumble.
Oh my God, book it. Book it now. Change all the plans. Rewrite history. Rock versus Tom Brady for the Intercontinental Championship.
The ultimate underdog.
Going over.
Gets the title and the girl. Have him leave with Sable afterwards, too.
Yes. We're going to reenact Macho Man and Elizabeth at WrestleMania 4.
The Royal Rumble.
And he goes on an undefeated winning streak for 10 years and retires as Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, we don't need Stone Cold. We got Tom Brady.
Tom Brady 316 says, I just whooped your ass.
That kid's going places.
Sadly, he's probably going to be one of the jobbers that gets thrown out in the Rumble.
Just in and out.
And moving along, we are shown to China now, shown whispering sweet nothings into Shawn Michaels' ear. And he says that he's going to teach Triple H a lesson tonight. Yeah, okay. Are you, like, even if you were just watching this for the first time, you had absolutely no idea what was happening. Would you have bought this?
No fucking chance.
Like, God.
Like, again, it's not from a point of I know everything about wrestling. It's just, you can just see, like, not much has changed in the way Shawn Michaels is talking. Like, before the match was announced, you see, like we said, you know, the pep in his step in his promos. And then you see how fucking cheesy and crunchy he's being of just, I'm gonna teach him a lesson, you know, like, I don't know, you just don't feel like it's going anywhere as far as like competitiveness or ass kicking. It's just shenanigans, man. No ifs, ands, or buts.
It really is. It's I don't even know what to fucking say about it, man. It's just like the fact that they kept doing this stuff over and over and over again, like, in the years to come, like, just, it feels like any time that Triple H is involved in something like this always happens, and it's like, it's frustrating to watch, and we're going to see a lot of it. In 1999 and 2000. But now, onto a happier note, we cut back to the Outlaws, and they finally find Mankind. He's taken off the Where's Waldo hat and put it on his mask again, and he is in the deepest bowels of the arena, and they start brawling, but Mankind gets the best of the New Age Outlaws and locks them both in a freezer.
The ultimate payoff.
Like that. It was a good little payoff. And yeah. Mr. Novak, would you like to take over the next segment?
God damn it, man. You just keep shitting in my hand here. Keep giving me all the best things to talk about.
I'm giving you the best ones. What are you talking about?
All right, so we get Goldust.
Like the highlight of the show.
We got Goldust coming out here looking like a human Christmas tree. An androgynous Christmas tree, I should add. He comes out here and he reads us a Christmas tale talking about Vader Claus. Not Santa Claus, not that jabroni. Talking about Vader Claus. And he's very licking his lips, very sensually telling us this tale. And that's all I had written about it. We've been on hiatus, so I haven't seen this episode in a while. Was there an ass kicking at the end of this, Maverick?
Not a problem. It's pretty much exactly like you said. The artist, formerly known as Goldust, starts reading, "'Twas the night before Christmas," and like you said, it is not Santa Claus, it is Vader Claus. And as Goldust is reading this tale, lo and behold, Santa comes down to the ring. and he is throwing candy to all the children, and all the people rejoice, and everybody's having a great time. And Goldust continues reading, and this Santa Claus is apparently on the naughty list because he drills Goldust in the back of the head with his big back. No, not that one. And then he hits a body attack, and the heels flee. And it's not a jolly fat man. It is actually Vader Claus. Good fucking grief.
I forgot about that. The replay fucking killed me. Just like clocked him in the back of the head with his bag. Oh, shit.
That fucking replay was so good. And when it happened, too, like, I was like, I had a feeling there was something going to happen, but just that fucking hit, man. It was so good.
How the fuck did I not write that down?
I don't know, but I'm so glad I did.
That was pretty fucking great.
All right. Oh, God. Here we go. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the match we've all been waiting for. The WWF European Championship is finally on the line. Shawn Michaels defends against Triple H. And here we go. Both men stall as they both get advice from China. And they tie up. And Shawn Michaels takes one hell of a bump. And Triple H, he starts to hit the ropes. And hits the shittiest looking warrior splash in existence. Like, you couldn't have faked it anymore unless you were, like, connected with I don't know, rope or something.
And special effects.
And one, two, three. Triple H is the new WWF European champion. We've been had, and even Cornette, and I've got the lines written here. Goddamn, it was a ruse, a ploy, a plot, a charade, a conspiracy, a sham. Goddamn, we've been conned, hoodwinked, bamboozled, flimflam, had the wool pulled over of our eyes even. Ah, any more analogies, Jim Cornette? Jesus Christ, man.
He sold that, like the... Like only Jim Cornette can, man. He fucking came unhinged.
That is the best way of putting it. Only the way Jim Cornette can.
That was fucking great.
God. So then we get the celebration afterwards. Shawn and Triple H are both joke around that the match that they had just had was the most grueling of both men's careers. Ugh. Slaughter then comes out and says the joke is on them and Triple H will defend the European Championship in a proper match next week against Owen Hart. And that closes the show.
You know, for the most part, I kind of dug that, you know, like almost knowing that they were going to do that so he could book that Triple H, Owen Hart, European title. Because the original plan, let's say, like, his big plan was to put Michaels against Triple H, right? Like, friends against friends. Oh, shit, fucking two friends facing each other for the European title. That's, like, the worst punishment ever. But, you know, the Owen Hart payoff there at the end of the show, like, that, the reveal, I should say. That was all right for the most part. What'd you think of the main?
I would have rather had them actually have a proper match and then still be buddies afterwards, and then, hey, this just happened, but guess what, now that you're the European champion, you're facing Owen Hart next week for the title, now that you two just kicked the crap out of each other. Like, I get it, it's, but here's my biggest gripe with this started the downfall of the European Championship. I don't care what anybody says, the credibility of the European Championship did not recover after this. It did not. anybody that wants to fight me on that, please, by all means, I will be more than happy to listen to you, and I will prove you wrong at every turning point of your point. Like, this championship dropped down to the exact same level as the WCW Television Championship. And again, I love the WCW Television Championship. Like I love the WWF European Championship. It is one of my favorite titles of all times. Design looking, I like it. That's most of the reason why I like it. I think it's a pretty belt. But how it is used, oh my God. And even the WCW Championship in 1998 is going to get a wicked, wicked series between Booker T and Chris Benoit. And that, like, that is like, okay, these are wicked series matches. I am down for this. The only time that I truly, truly enjoyed the European Championship after this moment, was British Bulldog winning it because it was absolutely daft in 1999 where he came back. And then pretty much anything to do with William Regal. But you cannot, from this point on, you cannot pinpoint a classic European Championship match. And if you can, that is your opinion. Absolutely. But, oh my God, it is dead. This title, and to give you a little bit of what we are about to see, this championship is going to get disregarded. And then one day, Midian, while he is talking to the corporation, says, "Oh, hey, Shane, mate, I found a belt in your bag. Do you mind if I take it from you? I need a belt for my pants." Like, "Yeah, okay, fine, do whatever you want." And that's how the European Championship gets reintroduced.
No what? Shit.
And then also Christ. Considering the fact, too, that they did have a Eurocontinental Championship match at SummerSlam 1999 between Jeff Jarrett and D'Lo Brown. And Jeff Jarrett won that match. And the next night on Raw, he just gave the European Championship to Mark Henry.
Because oh, yeah.
He helped him win that match. Yeah. Again, I love the European title. I love the design of it. There have been okay matches, but like nothing classic to what we'd seen with British Bulldog previous. And yeah, it's a shame. But anyway, that was Raw. And just to give you a little bit of a recap of our Royal Rumble 1998, I'm getting way too ahead of myself. The 1998 Royal Rumble card is the following. We obviously do have the Royal Rumble itself. And then we have a WWF Championship match, a casket match between Shawn Michaels, the champion, and The Undertaker, the challenger. And tonight we just got told for two other matches, as far as I know, the Intercontinental Championship match, Rocky Maivia taking on Ken Shamrock, the challenger, and the artist formerly known as Goldust will finally get the match against Vader at the Royal Rumble. Why you didn't do this match at D-Generation X in your house, I have no idea. But sure, let's go with it at the Royal Rumble. Why not?
Get it over with.
Absolutely. So, Mr. Novak, what is one thing that stood out in this episode?
I would say the long build-up to the shenanigan-filled main event. You know, you just see, like, the hokiness of it, but I guess it garnered some heat. It got the title in Triple H, so Owen Hart can face him, but, you know, I'm trying to see the positive in that, but, of course, everyone, like, not just you and I, but a lot of us would rather have seen Owen face Michaels for the title rather than face Triple H for the title, you know? But it's still something for Owen to do, so just the long build-up for that is just, like, the main thing that I see from this show, but there were some things I enjoyed. Fucking Tom Brady chasing off Mark Merrow, Shamrock kicking ass, Mankind kicking ass. So, but yeah, other than the long build-up, there were some, you know, some decent parts of this show. Some parts that definitely made us laugh, that definitely entertained us, you know. But you said you watched it as a kid, eh? From watching it now and watching it then, what's like the biggest difference that you see?
Just how bad the DX stuff was. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I was a kid, I probably bought into it. But I was seven, so yeah, that would make sense. But like, if I were to just watch this now in my 30s, I'd be like, I don't buy this. Sorry. Like, they're clearly friends. It just, yeah, it's a waste. And the Owen Hart stuff, I agree to as well. Next week, we're going to get a little bit of a treat, and that gets justified a little bit. But yeah, it just, I don't know. I mean, really, at either point at this time, for the Mania picture, you could have either had Steve Austin or Owen Hart in that spotlight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the one thing that I forgot, and I have absolutely zero shame in this, was these Vader claws and Goldust getting absolutely killed with that sack. God, that cracked me up.
The little extra mile for that segment, just, all right, turn around, kid, I'm going to clock you. They'll eat it up. And then he just fucking took his head off, man. The moments are the things people remember.
It really is. But, Novak, would you like to do your segment, sir?
I would love to. All right. So this was a little tricky, but I managed to find two things in this show that are not very favorable, and I would like you to guess which one you think I would rather do. You know the drill. If you get it right, you'll hear this. If you get it wrong, you'll hear this. All right. So, Maverick, do you think I would rather have Goldust read me a bedtime story in full gimmick? Or do you think I would rather face my good buddy, Travis Maverick, for the European Championship?
I'm going to say that you would want to face me for the European Championship, because nobody wants Goldust reading them a story. Yes!
You got it, man, because, you know, I don't think I would recover from having Goldust staring me in the eye, dressed as a Christmas tree, reading me a story, but I think I would recover from defeating you for the European Championship.
I would gladly put you over to my friend.
Our friendship would recover.
It absolutely will. But, hey, don't be surprised, and if, like, 5 years, I beat you up in a parking lot and, like, hit you in the back with a sledgehammer and shit like that.
When we have our big timeout reunion, you're going to pedigree my ass?
Yes, after you've taken 4 years off.
Yeah. Right on. Well, this was good to do again, man.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. I was just going to say that this was a blast to get back into. And yeah, we hope that you guys all enjoyed listening to us ramble and shoot the shit a little bit. And yeah, be a little bit more prepared for the next episode with the newsworthy facts and all that stuff. But Novak, is there anything that you would like to plug? Anything you'd like to say before we sign off?
I would like to say that I hope, from what I'm hearing with people we're talking to, well, I'm talking to, that you're talking to, hopefully we can have a guest on for our next show, and I think that would be an interesting dynamic, you know, have three people, three different inputs on the next episode of Raw, which is December 29th, so fingers crossed that everything lines up, timing-wise, etc., and we can have a guest.
Yes, we will definitely have a guest for that episode, and we will also be having a special guest, one Mr. Spencer Love, for the Royal Rumble 1998, and I'm looking forward to shooting the shit with him about the Royal Rumble. And yeah, 1998 is just going to be a really fun year to cover, and I'm very, very excited for it. And we hope that you are all going to be on this ride through 1998 with us. And yeah, if that is everything, I think we are going to take off for now.
All right, Mary.
Everything good for you?
Hell yeah.
Perfect. Well, with that being said, thank you for joining us, and we will catch you on the next episode of Time Out with Novak and Maverick.
Later.